So, Father, I come before you now with another message, and I just commit it to you, Lord. I pray that you would help me deliver it in spirit and in truth, in all honesty. And I do pray, Lord, that you'd open our ears and our minds to be sensitive to your Holy Spirit. Disregarding, Lord, my ability to create a sermon or to project it, Lord, if you would use it, Lord, graciously to bless everyone who hears it and to make a change for the better, then your word will not return to you void, and it will achieve, Lord, the purpose for which you wrote it and sent it out in the first place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So today's message I've entitled Fear Not, but with a question mark after it. Fear not. I've heard, but I haven't checked it out, that in the Bible, fear not, or words to that effect, are mentioned 365 times, and that's one for every day of a standard year. So you only got one day in a leap year when you're told you can be fearful, if that is a correct interpretation. However, one of the more significant effects that the coronavirus pandemic has induced in people is that of fear. And I would be surprised if those hearing this message have never felt at least a twinge of fear regarding COVID-19 and its insidious method of attacking people, apparently indiscriminately, and with various and somewhat unpredictable results. I mean, children get away with it as if they've had a cold. Some people get it, and even in their 80s and 90s, I've heard of people recovering from it. And yet some people, it's claimed their lives. We, as Christians, are not immune to fear. We have a great shepherd, and we rely on him to guard us and guide us through this fallen world. But we are referred to as sheep, his sheep. And as you know, sheep are not known for their intelligence or bravery, but maybe by which flock they belong in and who is their shepherd. The author of Psalm 23 makes it quite clear who his shepherd was. Because in Psalm 23 verses 1 to 4, David, King David, says, "The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The Lord is my shepherd." The author, King David, under the guidance and leading of the Holy Spirit, wrote these words as an encouragement not only for David himself, but also for all those who would eventually find and accept that Jesus wants to be their shepherd too. Now, as you walk around the shops today, after the easing of lockdown and a reduction in the physical separation rules, you will find a massive contrast in how these rules are being adhered to. Some people are very cautious and watch everyone around them as if they were infectious and dangerous. Some people wear masks, some people don't. But on the other hand, there are those who have dismissed the requirement to observe social distancing as perhaps a farce, and nothing but another ill-conceived government rule to make it look like they are in control and acting wisely under these very strange circumstances that we find ourselves in. So how do you act? You who are listening, how do you act? And why do you act that way? I was showing someone round a property the other day, and before I had time to think or react, this guy, who I had never met before, reached out and shook me by the hand. I distinctly remember the experience and my reactions and the associated emotions that I felt. It was a mixture of, you really shouldn't have done that. You simply don't care either about me or yourself. But instead, I just made a joke about it and very loudly wiped the residue from his sweaty hand on my trousers, saying, we're not supposed to do that. It reminded me of being in the playground 50 years ago. We had a version of TIG, where you ran around trying to grab someone and touch them. And as they try to escape from your clutches, you grab them and you say, lurgy, pass it on. You've got the lurgy, pass it on. If you were it, if you were the it. So the one with the lurgy then became it. So they had to go on chasing around, trying to catch the next person and TIG them and say, lurgy, pass it on. And so the game went on with lots of harmless fun being had by all. When the bell went at the end of playtime, everyone tended to forget whether they still had the lurgy or not, because it wasn't that important then. The bell had gone, it was time to go in. In the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul makes a statement which sounds a bit like we've all got the lurgy. In Romans 3:23, we read this, there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All of us, we've all got it. So we've all got this lurgy, this sin lurgy, and as a result, we're all going to die. In Romans 6:23, just to make it clear, Paul says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in or through Christ Jesus our Lord. And this is because we all caught the sin lurgy from our parents, and they caught it from their parents, and so on, going right back into the Garden of Eden and Adam and Eve, who concocted it in the first place. In Genesis 2:16-17, and this is where it starts, the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die. Neither Adam nor Eve immediately dropped down dead then, did they, in the Garden of Eden? But this is what did happen. And at most funerals, we are reminded of the gravity of this. Going on in Genesis 3:17-19, to Adam, God said, because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return. Until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return. In other words, you will eventually die. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. That's where it comes from. So, is this why some people take the social distancing rules with a pinch of salt, so to speak? Maybe they are blasé about it because they think, well, we're all going to die anyway, sometime, so why bother worrying about it? Whether I die of COVID-19 lurgy or some other lurgy makes little difference. These kind of people, they could be right, couldn't they? Or they could be dangerously wrong. They could be dangerously wrong. If they are Christians with a very strong faith and they know their destination, their final destination, they have every reason not to worry about the time and cause of their death. But if they're not, then they are very foolish indeed. Interesting scripture from Exodus 20, 20 to 21. When Moses speaks to the people, Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. God has come to test you, so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning." The fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning. The people remained at a distance while Moses approached the thick darkness where God was. Now, this is a very early example how Moses was used as a mediator. You could say it was an early type of Christ between man and God, a mediator, in order to keep the people from sinning, to protect them. The people were being taught to have a healthy fear of God, a healthy fear of God, because ultimately God has authority over our lives. Whether you believe it or not, he does. He has authority over our lives. Whether we live or whether we die, he has ultimate, unquestionable authority. But if you didn't fear God in your rebelliousness, you wouldn't believe that you needed a mediator in the first place, would you? You would just eventually receive the consequences of living a sinful life. And it's strange, isn't it, that although Moses starts with, "Do not be afraid," he then goes on to say that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning. So what is it then? Is it, it's a kind of don't be afraid, but be afraid. Don't be afraid, but be afraid. What does that mean? The answer, of course, is make sure that you're afraid of the right thing or person and not the one who is supposedly passing on the lurgy, but the one who is ultimately going to judge you and decide if you're his sheep and whether he's been your shepherd during your lifetime. In Luke 12, verse 5, we read, "I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after the killing of the body, has power to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him." There's only one way of making yourself into one of his sheep, and that is to listen out for his voice and to respond to it. He, Jesus, he knows his sheep, and we should know his voice as our shepherd. And if that is the case in your life, then the word is, fear not, I am with you. So regarding this lurgy, it's not for us to pass on lurgies, it's not for us to receive lurgies. Our job is to pass on, Jesus is Lord. Tig, pass it on. Amen.